We were looking through Easter hymns, looking for one that might be a little bit newer, but still fit for the day. And when we came across one that included "All who find religion strange," we were like, okay, that fits for us. That works. Well, happy Easter. I've been waiting all week to get to say that. Happy Easter. Not everybody waits to say happy Easter, but then not everyone is me, and everyone else tends to be more normal. See, I have this thing about waiting until Easter to say happy Easter. Maybe it's just a pastor problem, I'm not sure, but I once had someone wish me a happy Easter on the Wednesday before, and all I could say in response was, "He's not even dead yet." You get some funny looks when you respond that way. But see, this is the challenge that comes with an event that happens every single year. Everybody already knows the ending. It's easy to skip the entire death thing because we know Jesus is going to bounce back. So I want to back things up a little bit this morning and remind us how we got here. Here at Highlands United Methodist Church, we've spent the last month and a half on a journey of relationship. You see, we've been tagging along through the Gospel of Mark on Jesus' journey, witnessing the relationships that he shared. In those relationships, we have seen Jesus push away expectations so that people could actually get to know him and not just the hype that people heard about him. We listened as Jesus used stories and sometimes confusing parables to create a space that gave permission for questions and learning, because Jesus wants us to engage the relationship and wrestle with it, not just take a simple phrase and walk away. We watched as Jesus broke every societal and religious norm possible. Because any norm that excludes people or that's based in fear and judgment flies in the face of everything Jesus is about. We listened as Jesus asked us personally, "Who do you say I am?" And we've been invited to answer with more than just words as we live lives of service and justice and welcome and grace. And as the relationship has grown, Jesus took the opportunity to push us, challenging how comfortable we are, so that we might see the world differently, and then discover that God's kingdom is already around us. This is the journey that Jesus has been taking. It's an amazing, powerful one. This journey that Jesus has been on is so wonderful, and it got him killed. What a journey. The pushing, the challenging, the breaking the norms, the questions. Oh, the questions. With Jesus, always more questions than answers. These are things that Jesus brought everyone and said, "This is what it's about. Let's be in relationship with this." And it got him killed. And the craziest thing is, he knew. He knew it would happen. Now, I can't tell you exactly when he knew. Oh, there are theologians and biblical scholars who fight over such details. But I can tell you, even without the specifics, he knew. Jesus knew that his relationships would get him killed. Oh yeah, the theologians and the biblical scholars also discuss a lot about what got him killed. And there's a lot of contributing factors, but at the very core of it, it was relationships. Because Jesus did not honor the relationships people in power thought he should. Oh, his relationship to the religious institution, his relationship to tradition and the status quo, his relationship to the dogmas and labels of the day. Yeah, Jesus didn't honor those relationships the way people thought he should. And then he created relationships that people in power couldn't stand. I mean, here he is developing relationships with people society excluded. Here he is cozying up relationships with these new ideas. Oh, here he is sharing relationship with all of these gray, messy areas of life people try to avoid. Jesus not only celebrated, but flaunted those relationships in ways that nobody thought anybody should. And Jesus knew that those kinds of relationships would only lead to one thing. They would get him killed. Now, if you're counting, I've talked about Jesus being killed or dead a good half dozen times so far in this sermon, which may seem like a strange thing for Easter morning. I mean, this is the life day, the happy day, the exciting day. We even opened the service proclaiming Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. But I tell you, Jesus being dead is where everything left off before today. And if there hadn't been about 2,000 some years of spoilers, you wouldn't have known that when you walked in this morning. We all would have woken up this morning only knowing the tragedy of Friday. That's the same thing that Jesus' friends woke up to that very first Easter morning as well. Hear the story as the Gospel of Mark shares it. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they could go and anoint Jesus' dead body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they came to the tomb. They were saying to each other, "Who's going to roll away the stone from the entrance for us?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, and it was a very large stone. Going into the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right side, and they were startled. But he said to them, "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He's been raised. He isn't here." He isn't here. Those words don't have the same meaning unless we realize that he should have been there. He should have been there. I mean, that's how this works, right? If you push every boundary, challenge the institution, question authority, hang out with the wrong crowd, and then during your trial, you only respond to the people in charge with rhetorical questions like, "That's who you say I am," things aren't going to go well. So you end up getting crucified. And if you get crucified, you end up in a tomb. He should have been in the tomb. But he wasn't there. He wasn't there. If it's your first time hearing this story, if you didn't know this was going to happen, you possess something I wish all of us could have again. Because when we hear this story year after year, Easter after Easter, it becomes commonplace and predictable. This story is anything but commonplace and predictable. This story is outlandish. This story is shocking. And in certain ways, this story is unbelievable. When we hear this story over and over again, it risks becoming a story about some historic religious event, you know, a trite relic, a mythological trope. But that is not what this story is about. To hear this as if it were the first time is to recognize that this story is a story about life. I mean, this dramatic ending, no, ending is the wrong word here. This dramatic new beginning is like a giant exclamation point emphasizing that the entire story of Jesus is about life, just so we don't miss it. The power of the Easter story is in its ability to help us understand the entire story of Jesus. This isn't the first time Jesus has surprised people with life when everyone else thought there was none. Each and every relationship Jesus ever had was about life, often in the most unexpected ways, unexpected places, with the most unexpected people. People like us. Jesus' relationships with people were about life. I mean, when he was challenging people in power, he was pushing them to get back in touch with the real life that they distanced themselves from. When he was caring for the least, the lost, and the excluded, he was helping those people see themselves as worthy of a life that they'd been told was beyond them. Even when Jesus was pushing institutions, those relationships were about life. Jesus refused to be a part of any institution that wasn't focused on the realities of life that supported people as they sought to live it well. And Jesus' relationship with God was about life. Jesus used every question, every story, every example he could. Jesus used those to remind us that God is present in our everyday lives. Not just in some old text, not just in some fancy sacred space, but everywhere, every day, God is present with us. Each and every relationship Jesus ever had was about life, and that's why this day is about that same thing. That's why he wasn't there. Because he wasn't there, the story focuses again on life. And the message of Easter is about all of that. And we are invited to make those same kind of relationships, those living and loving relationships, a part of our lives. And by the way, these are the kind of relationships we value and build our community around here. Pushing the institution, seeking out those who are overlooked and outcast, looking for the divine in everyday life. That's what we're working on together here every day. And you are welcome to join us. When I say the message of Easter is about life, I'm not speaking of life as some sort of abstract concept of existence and being. When I say the message of Easter is about life, I'm saying it's about our lives. The story of Easter is about your life. Our everyday, this is who I really am lives. That's what the empty tomb is about. Whether we feel like we're simply skimming along the surface of life, or we feel like we're in way too deep, this day offers us life anew. Whether we feel broken, worn out, or just numb, Jesus invites us to life anew this day. No matter who we are, where we come from, what we've done, what people call us, or what society labels us, Jesus invites us to life anew this day. Because Easter is about life. It was a demonstration of God's ability to bring life to each and every one of us. Meaningful life. World-changing life. Relational life. And this day serves to remind us that that's the message God was sharing through Jesus the whole time. Before the cross and after. Jesus was about relationships that bring life. And that is what we are invited to. We are invited this day by God into relationships that bring us life and into relationships that will bring life to others. You see, to celebrate this day, to hear the story of the empty tomb, to wish one another a happy Easter, all of those things are to open ourselves to all that God is doing. And it's about life. So enjoy the life. Happy Easter.